And good morning, everybody. And, well, we got a good weekend for the last weekend duck hunters in the West Zone for Louisiana. Not so good for fishermen, but I do have some unique opportunities and maybe some alternatives if the weather gets you down. Well, that's because we've got an Arctic blast forecasted into early next week. It's going to bring some hard freeze conditions over much of our listening area. So I've got some precautionary tips I've put together to protect your boats and motors during those freezes. And we've got another winter hazard, and it's something we talked about last week. And coincidentally, I witnessed just such an encounter this week, and I think it's worth mentioning again to help you avoid what could be a deadly encounter. And we've got some of the hunting seasons, like waterfowl, they're going to be winding down. Others are reaching their prime times. We'll give you a little bit of rundown on what's going to be open. And are you hunting and fishing, or either one today? This weekend, we'd love to hear from you. If you had a good trip earlier this week, we'd love to get your report. We'll add it with the reports of our field reporters. And we'll also take your comments and questions via our in-studio text messaging. And that number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And for you late-season coastal duck hunters, there's one species that's a late-migrating diver. And it's kind of earned a reputation for being, well, not so tasty. Well, I got to tell you, I have a recipe for the scaup, or dogri, as it's called in Louisiana, to share that's going to change your mind, especially since Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery waterfowl count, which came in yesterday, shows a big influx of that species into coastal areas. So you're likely to have an encounter if you're going to be hunting this weekend, or if you're in the east zone hunting through next week. This is also the time of the year for a non-native species to Louisiana. That's the rainbow trout. There's going to be three stockings in public ponds scheduled for today. They're pretty much out of the weather. I'll tell you where you can find them. That might be a good choice given what you're going to hear in that coastal marine forecast. And it is in, finally, we've got the harvest count, the final count for Louisiana's red snapper for last season. We did go over the quota, and I'll tell you how that's going to affect this year's new quota. And here's a question for you. Did you ever catch more fish than you can use? Some people say, what? There's no such thing. Well, if you did, did you ever think about selling your fish online? Well, if you have, think again, or you could end up like this week's bad boy of the outdoors. I'll have that story coming up. Now to that coastal marine forecast, and looking pretty grim for fishermen, but good for hunters because you got some wind out there. East winds, 12 to 22 knots offshore, 3 to 4 foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. They'll still get that 12 to 20 knot wind. It's not near there right now as I'm looking at the current winds, but it's predicted to build up. And tomorrow will turn into a small craft advisory, those 12 to 22, but it will be out of the south tomorrow, and also a small craft advisory for the interior lakes and bays. On Monday, it gets even worse. That will change to a gale warning. And with those below freezing temperatures, no place to be. Average tide range, throw that out the window with these winds. It's about a 0.5 movement. And we've got the Mississippi River's at 2.0, holding steady. Expecting some rain along the coast that's in Texas right now, headed towards the east, and we'll be here probably late tonight and continue on into Sunday, and that will give way to those below-freezing temperatures starting early next week. So that's it. The stage is set. We're ready to go. Text me with your info, comments, questions, 504-260-1870. We've got some live fishing reports coming your way. It's what we do here every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m., and we call it the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, let's go down there right now, Shell Beach in St. Bernard Parish, and let's talk with Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. Good morning, Robbie. Looks like we got a deep freeze coming, my friend, and we got some breezy weather until then and some rainy weather. I guess the duck hunters are going to be enjoying this final weekend over that way, but, man, doesn't look real good for the fishermen, except for you know what's coming.
Let me say this, Don. You know, this past week wasn't all that bad. They caught a lot of fish this past week. A bunch of fish caught up in the Mistigohea from here all the way to Chalmette. Did by the wall up there. And it was 50-50, whether it was either on, you know, live shrimp or plastics or jerk baits. I tell you, it was I saw a lot of fish come in this week. And I tell you, I was really shocked. Back up in a Biloxi Marsh, it did the same thing. Fishing behind Bayou Sioux back there, you know, getting up into that cutoff area. We've seen some fish come in from there. But I think after this cold blast comes through, I believe this is going to, well, two things is going to end. I think live, and we're going to still go try, people, but I think it's going to be the end of the live shrimp for the season, and I think it's also going to be the end of a trout bite for a while, not unless we get a drastic warm-up. And we have another front coming down behind this front, so it's not looking good for the trout bite after this weekend. Duck hunters are going to be loving it. The wind's blowing pretty good this morning. Don, if they would leave the season run to the end of the month, it would probably be a little bit better because the ducks, you know, we're just starting to see a few ducks, bigger ducks like gray ducks and Weegians coming down now where we didn't have that, you know, and people were shooting, you know, trash ducks like buffalo heads and bluebills and, dogries and whatever. But, we're just starting to see some good ducks come down right now, and the season's going to close tomorrow. Another thing is, my phone has been blowing up about this. Do we think we're going to have a redfish jubilee at the drawbridge?
Right.
And we talked about this many, many times over the years, Don. You got to have the stars to align to do this. And what I mean by that is you have to have two things. You have to have cold weather, which we're going to get, but you have to have extremely low tide. Now, the tide was all week was rock bottom low, okay? So now that the wind's blowing out the northeast, it came up a little bit. So I don't know if this is all going to play out. Now the wind is supposed to switch back out of the northwest. And, you know, I think the second day of this this cold blast, which would be Tuesday, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Tuesday's going to be the second day of this cold blast, is going to be the day if any redfish show up in that bayou, I think it's going to be Tuesday, not Monday. So, you know, look, I'm just giving you my 2 cents on this whole deal, and I think that's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right, Robbie. And again, we want to remind people who want to participate in that, make sure you find a place that, you know, you have permission to fish along the Bayou Lutri, along the docks there. Clean up after yourself. Don't make a mess. The landowners certainly don't appreciate that. And just bring you a handful of dead bait and put it on a jig head or with a weight and fish it dead slow on the bottom. And be careful of your size limits. A lot of those redfish are small that get in there. You got to release them. And be careful of the creel limits because the game wardens know when that happens. And if the fish are in, you know, trapped in there in that deeper water to escape the cold temperatures, the chances of going over the limit of your redfish is there. So they're going to be there. And a lot of times you won't see them in uniform. They'll be fishing there next to you, maybe wearing camo jackets.
Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, they're
walking,
counting your
they'll
fish.
They'll be walking around just like you, you know what I mean? They'll be walking around in blue jeans and, just the regular clothes. That's not, you know, you're not going to know who's standing next to you. So be very, very careful because in the past years of this happening at that drawbridge, we've seen quite a few tickets being, I saw some cars being taken. People just doing wrong. I saw a guy with an oyster sack one time with 15 inch redfish in it, and that didn't work out too good. So, you know, just do the right thing, people, if it does happen, and you'll be fine.
All right, anything else before you go, Rob?
No, Don, I think that's pretty much wraps it up. So, you know, we're just going to hunker down. And if you got an outboard motor and you're leaving it up and you're going to – I know this happened before. I want to just throw this out there. Everybody's got outboard motors, and you know how everybody got them tilted up. When this freeze comes, make sure you go trim that thing all the way down if you can, or let the front of your trailer down so you can tilt that motor down to drain that water out of that lower unit. That's a little bit of water that stays in the bottom of that lower unit, because what happens is that lower unit gets frozen and sometimes they crack. So,
yep.
Frozen water expands, and when it expands and it can't go nowhere, guess what? You know, I've seen it happen before. Just, you know, wrap your pipes and stay warm, people.
Good advice, Robbie. I got some more tips to add to that coming up shortly, because folks are going to need it. Thanks for your reports as always, Robbie. Let's hope it doesn't cause us any serious problems with this Arctic blast, and we'll be back to talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Don. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes, Robbie Campo. All right, we come back after this. The waterfowl report for you duck hunters, before you get out to your blinds, or if you're leaving now, take your phone with you and listen to us, because the flyover was done probably about a week or so ago, but the information is pretty good, and some of it is pretty positive for the wrap-up of the duck season. I've also got a recipe. You know, I heard Robbie talking about people passing up on those scarp or doe grease. Don't do it. There's a great recipe I've got, and I'll share it with you when we come back right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, for you duck hunters that are headed out early this morning, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries did their waterfowl population estimate for the coastal zone and also for northwest Louisiana, and also did a special flyover looking for those scarp, which I'll talk more about. Mallards still looking bleak, less than 1,000 birds in the southeast, 6,000 in southwest, and I think we all know the arguments why we no longer get mallards in Louisiana. However, boy, there is some really bright spots. Of course, the numbers, these are not close to what it used to be 15, 10, even 10 years ago, but green-winged teal in the southwest, 720,000. You add the southeast total, and there's over 800,000 green-winged teal in the state. Blue-winged teal also up for this time of year, 116,000. Normally, they have flown through and are headed down to Mexico and South America. They are still hanging in here. And we also have the scarp, or the dogri, as it's called. Nice influx is 288,000 in the state, 158,000 in the southeast. So we've got a total of 2.46 million ducks in the coastal region and the Little River Basin, and that is a 48% increase over December, over last month's count. The scarp are up 125%, had a large influx of those, and I'm sure there'll be more coming, but unfortunately in the West Zone, where there's a lot of open bays and big water where they come in, they're diving ducks. It will be closing tomorrow, and the East Zone hunters will have it all to themselves. Something else they counted, black-bellied whistling ducks. We call them Mexican whistlers, and they counted those at 385,000. That's an 82% increase over January of last year. And I think that season that will be in next year's waterfowl limits, you'll be able to hunt the black-bellied ducks on a special season in October. And with that increase every year coming around, I think that's a species that's going to be important to waterfowlers from here on out. The change from January of 2026 for January 2025, you got a 67% increase in mottled ducks. Gray ducks are up 37%, blue-winged teal 75%, shovelers 58%, and 48% on the scarp or dogri. Which brings me to that duck. Now, you heard Robbie talk about people pass up shooting scarp. A dogri is what they're called. It means dogri is too gray. It's two gray stripes on their wings. It once was an extremely common duck, and over the years they've kind of fallen off, but kind of made a little bit of a rebound. But I can recall when scarp or dogri were a 10-point duck when we had the 100-point system, and you could shoot 10 of them a day per person. And then we actually had a special season when the regular season closed. You had, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks beyond that, you could hunt them on certain open waters like Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, the bays down around Plaquemines Parish, the big open water. If you got up against the banks and put a lot of decoys, you could extend your season. Well, a lot of people, for some reason, there's these rumors and that go around that they're just not any good to eat, and people pass them up. They don't want to put them in their limit. You can now shoot two per person per day, And I'm going to give you a recipe, and you might want to go back and get it or maybe jot this down because it's not real complicated. But you take the breast meat from the bone. You fillet it off just like you'd fillet a fish. And you get your meat mallet, and you pound it out to make it tender. You tenderize it with a meat mallet. Kind of breaks up that gristle and those pieces in there that generally make it tough. Then what you do is you marinate it overnight in milk in the refrigerator. Milk breaks down the lactic acid and is also a tenderizing, and you will be amazed at how that dark breast, it's a very dark-colored meat in a dogri, but when you marinate it in milk, it lightens it up. Well, when you get ready to cook it, you rinse the milk off, you pat it dry, you get a piece of foil, you put one of the breasts down on the foil. Now, you brush the breast with olive oil. And on the one on the bottom, you cover it with the Trinity, the onion, the bell pepper, the celery, and maybe chop up some garlic. And then you take another olive oil breast, you brush it, and you put it on top, sandwich style. You with me? So you got two breasts with the seasonings in between them. They've been oiled up. They've been marinated with milk overnight. You close that foil. You make a little tent with the foil. You put it on the rack in the 300-degree oven, and you cook it until it becomes fork tender, and it will. When you open it up, you'll be able to take your fork, and it'll just kind of break away. It'll be tender, and that goes great with wild rice. It's got a good flavor. So do not pass up a scarp or a dogri, as it's called here in Louisiana, and put that recipe to good use. All right, when we come back after this, I'm going to give you some of those tips for taking care of your outboard motors and your boats during these Arctic freeze blasts. And if anybody's out there listening, maybe some boat mechanics, we got a lot of professionals. If you've got something to add, we can help save our listeners a lot of time, expense, and problems. Please text it to us along with your fishing reports, 504-260-1870, and we'll be back in 3 minutes right after these messages from our sponsors on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's start this segment off with some of our text messages coming in. We got this one. Good morning, Mr. Don. Sitting in the Charlotte airport, traveling for work, headed back to New Orleans last Saturday, we tore up the freshwater cats, some very large reds in the intercoastal near Miller's Ditch. That's from my buddy the Worm. Yeah, I know where Miller's Ditch is. It's a little narrow cut that connects Lake Catherine into the intercoastal. And, you know, to get those deeper water this time of year, that's where you're going to find those fish. They get out of those shallow marsh ponds and head into the deeper water to seek comfort from the cold weather. All right, we got the Steel Man. He's reporting in from Gaydon. The crew is back together for this closing weekend. Here's who they got out there. Big Burr Sr., Snow Boots, the Master Prepper, Poppy, and I will give it a try. Despite a slow hunt yesterday, Big Burr Sr. made an excellent duck and dove gumbo last night. Happy hunting. Yeah, this is definitely what you'd call gumbo weather coming. If you like to eat gumbo during cold weather, well, your time is arriving. All right, we're going to get back to some more of these text messages. Also got some tips to protect your boats and motors during these Arctic blast type cold freezes that are coming in. And we'll do that right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have the Backstrap Stacker checking in today from Mobile. Yeah, as predicted, the rut right now is full-blown in lower Alabama. They stacked up the backstraps last weekend. One deer between two of us over the long weekend. The freezes are full. Y'all stay safe this weekend. They've got 8 deer total so far. So, boy, that's a great season, despite whether you continue to do it. But right now is your chances to get that nice rack because that rut's on and those deer get crazy. All right, let's see. Here's another Alabama listener, Wingbone. He's hoping to finish up a Wingbone turkey call. That's from our friend in Wilmer, Alabama. All right, let me get to the protection for your boats and motors. These are some things I've put together, but if we got any boat mechanics professionals out there listening that can add something to it to help you get through this and without any damage and expense to your boats and motors, please text us at 504-260-1870. Now, the most important thing to protect your boats and motors during a hard freeze, just like Robbie said, remove all water systems. You got to get that water out. Drain it from freezing because it'll cause cracked engines and burst the pipes. You also should drain your boat plugs. A lot of people don't think about that. If you get the rain first and maybe some ice storm coming in and that gets into the boat and you got your plugs in and it accumulates, it can also cause some problem with icing up in the hull. Your bait well, make sure your bait well is drained. Your freshwater system, you need to run some marine antifreeze through that engine's cooling system. And most important, like Robbie said, store your outboard in a vertical down position. Have that lower unit down so it can drain all the water out. If you got it cocked up on the back of your boat, that water can hang in there and cause you some problems with damage from the ice. You might want to get a cover if you don't have one. Cover your boat to keep the frozen rain and ice from forming inside that hull. If you keep your boat in the water, keep the lower unit down underwater where the temperature is not below freezing. A lot of people want to get it up, think they're going to get it out of that cold water or not. If it's down below the surface, it's not going to freeze. So there it is. Cover your boat and drain anywhere there's water in that boat engine. Make sure you get it drained out of there to protect it. All right, 504-260-1870 is our text line. Let's see, I got some more texts coming in. This one says it's the real temperature, and this is not a wind chill, is minus 9 degrees Fahrenheit from Ohio. Been hunting frozen pipes since 2 a.m. We're in the clear once the sun comes up. Stay warm, y'all. Well, we've got a better chance than you do up there in Ohio for sure. All right, here's one that says, Don, going out one last time, duck hunting into Zalmans, putting the bow on a terrible season. Yeah, and I talked about that last week. Zalmans is used to be one of the primo areas at Lake Salvador, Lake Cotacachi, Salvador Game Management Area. All of those marshes in there, brackish marsh, attracted species of all types. And, you know, because of the saltwater intrusion, and a lot of people are blaming freshwater diversion for killing off a lot of the vegetation. The feed is no longer there. And it's also the victim of some things that are happening up the flyway. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about what goes on with the flooded cornfields. And I see it every day on social media. These lodges that are making a lot of money and they're levying off ponds and growing corn. They don't harvest it. It's not an agricultural crop. It's there. Yeah, it's crap. To feed the ducks, they flood it. They put ice eaters in it. They control the water level, and it holds the ducks as long as they've got food, they've got cover, they've got water. They are not. There's no reason to migrate, and the species that it is most affected is mallards. And, you know, I point to the blue-winged teal, which are length-of-day migrants, and you see they still pour down here. There's plenty of teal. The divers, they don't go into the cornfields. They show up, and I hunted woodcock this week, and the woodcock continue to come down here in Louisiana. We hold the largest population of wintering woodcock. Why would they not come if you can blame it on global warming is what a lot of the conservation organizations are blaming it on. But I'm old enough to remember. I've seen enough duck seasons where I've been hunting in 70 and sometimes 80-degree weather, and you're covered up with ducks. So it's not weather. It's more about habitat. And then we've got other factors. We've lost a lot of coastal habitat, too, and that is also problematic. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to talk about another winter-type hazard that I witnessed firsthand this week, and you want to watch out for that. And also, it's in the final red snapper landing estimates for last year. We went over quota, boys and girls, and we got to pay it back next year. We'll tell you how bad that looks right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, this is what I love about this audience. We ask and we receive. You know, I was asking for some advice to add to what I put out about tips for your boats and motors doing these deep freezes. And this one comes in from a guy named the Battery Man. It says, Don, don't forget about your boat's batteries. When storing the boat, remove the batteries from all connections, and that will prevent what they call parasitic draw, and place them on trickle maintenance charges to keep them charged and healthy. Doing that extreme cold, yeah, the battery wants to give its power. It sucks it off of it, and then you end up with dead batteries, and you might even be killed batteries. So it's a great idea. disconnect the connections, and then keep them on the trickle maintenance, charge them to keep them charged up. Great advice, great tip. If anyone else is listening that's got something to add, we welcome it in to help our boat and motor owners. 504-260-1870 is that text line. Also got this text in, Don. We have 1,700 acres of prime South Louisiana duck habitat. We killed a total of one greenhead, which is a mallard, this season. And, yeah, the mallard is the one that's most affected by the short-stopping. They claim, this is U.S. Fish and Wildlife numbers, that there's a good, healthy population of mallards. That's why we continue to have a 60-day, six-duck season. But they don't come here. They're all up in Missouri and Tennessee and places like that, Illinois. Anyway, I think the future for the South Louisiana duck hunter is going to be Mexican whistlers and teal. Mallards, endangered species. All right. Last week, we talked about something that has become another hazard this time of the year, and I'm talking about collisions with deer. How many deer do you believe are killed in North America? And we looked it up, and the best numbers show that somewhere between 6 and 6.5 million deer are killed annually. A lot of that is with the hunting. But the total mortality is probably closer to 8 to 10 million, which means that there are about 2.7 million killed in auto crashes and with predators by a few. But I would say there's probably a good estimate, 2 million collisions with trucks and auto. And I got to witness that this week. I was on my way to go woodcock hunting. a friend of mine, you may have seen him. He's been on us with Bayou Wild TV. Extraordinaire fisherman. He's very talented artist and decoy carver, Chris Weaver. He was ahead of us. Dean Galatis, my hunting buddy, and I were in a truck with our dogs, and we were probably 10 minutes behind him or so, and he ended up hitting a deer on I-10 going about 70 miles an hour. Very fortunately, his airbag didn't deploy. He maintained control of the truck, didn't go side. There wasn't anybody else involved in the accident except he and the deer, and when I tell you that deer sprayed with feces the side of his truck, he had to give it a truck wash when we got to the hunting camp. Well, we were just shortly behind him, and I told him we'd look for the deer. He kept going because there was so much traffic. And by the time we got to the scene of the accident, somebody had pulled over and scooped up that deer. Evidently, they saw it hit, realized it was a fresh deer. It was a big doe. He estimated it probably over 120, maybe 150 pounds. And somebody got him a deer, threw it in the back of the truck before we could even get to the scene. So he's going to be contacting his insurance company and getting some work done. But again, it's rut season. The deer are on the move, especially just before daylight, which it was close to that time. And right again at dusk, that's when you got to be most careful. And sometimes it's unavoidable. I mean, they get out on you like that, and there's just nothing you can do. Other times, if you keep your eyes on the sides, the shoulders of the road, a lot of time you can see them, particularly at night, you can see their eyes, and they'll be standing right there on the shoulder of the road. And as soon as you get close, when those headlights hit them, they try to bolt across and ends up bad news. So it happens very frequently. In fact, insurance companies put that into the estimates on the cost, the cost of collisions with deer. It's one of the big hazards of drivers. All right, something else came in this week, the final count on the red snapper. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries estimated in Louisiana we caught 947,103 pounds of red snapper during the private recreational season. Our quota was 894,955, so it was almost 6% above that, which means we were almost 40,000 pounds over. So what will happen is, well, actually, it'd be 52,148. The 39 was the payback that we had from the overage in 2024. We had to pay back. This year in 2026, our allocation will be reduced to 891,439 because the 52,148 that we went over has to be deducted. You got to pay them back. So one way or another, you pay me now or pay me later, as the man says. But we had 200 days of red snapper fishing May 1st through November 16th during this 2025 season. And I tell you, it's a really good season that the way it turned out. And, you know, the Lac Creole process that was developed here in Louisiana, I can't say enough about it. When we took the management out of the hands of the feds and gave it to the state, so much more accounting and better access, better records. It was more accurate and allows us to enjoy more red snapper fishing. And not just our state, Mississippi, Alabama also kind of use the same thing. All right, we come back after this. Daryl Carpenter joins us. We're going to find out about Grand Isle. I would think it's you got to hunker down and get into some wind-protected areas if you're going to do any fishing at all. We'll find out what's going on with him right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I got a text in from Roland Cortez and the Dave's Bayou crew. They're hunting waterfowl on this cold morning up in North Louisiana. Hope everyone in the blind has a safe trip. He says when he lived in the woods in upper, I guess that's, is it Michigan, M-I? Michigan's an abbreviation. He hit a deer with every vehicle he owned, four of them, and one rammed him in the rut. Did your truck look like a doe, maybe? I don't know. Have you, has anyone out there ever hit a deer or other wildlife? Text me, 504-260-1870, and tell me the story. Daryl Carpenter joins us, realscreamers.com. Daryl, you ever had any close encounters or hits with deer crossing the road?
Oh, yeah, Don, several. And look, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but in another lifetime, I was a former beat cop. I mean, I worked for the sheriff's office up here in Baton Rouge, and my God, I've seen some of the damage. I saw one get hit one day, or should I say rammed the vehicle one day, and this was the biggest buck I probably ever laid eyes on. And when I tell you, he opened the side of that car like it was a sardine can, from the front bumper to the rear bumper, just ripped it wide open with his horns.
They do a lot of damage. They crash windshields. They, set off airbags. I'll tell you, one of the really huge collisions I saw was in Alaska when people hit a moose. A lot of times they don't survive, and the moose does, or the moose doesn't, and they do. And they actually have, if you live in Alaska, if you're a resident, you can put your name on a waiting list. And as moose are hit on the roads, they contact whoever's up next on the list to come get the meat. And if you don't answer, then they call the next one. And that's what they do with those moose. But, boy, you talk about damage a truck, a moose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be like hitting a cow. But Don, to change gears on you real quick, you're talking about the freeze coming and the prevention for your boat motors and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that's how our time would be best spent, is getting you to tell us what you do down there to take care of your stuff.
Well, it's not so much down there because, you know, it takes a whole lot to freeze, you know, down on the coast itself because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that trailer their boats, well, a lot of people don't realize, too, that, you know, we talk about lower units, but the engine block itself, when that thing is cold and your thermostats are closed, that is a closed-loop system, and if you've used the boat recently, it's going to have water remaining in the head. Look, I'm well into the 60s, into my 60s, and what's always worked for me, and I've never had a cold weather problem, is tarp the rear of the boat. A couple of clothespins or a little bit of rope or something to make you a tent over the engine itself. And then take you one of these shop lights with the little spring handles and clip it to the lower unit with a heat lamp bulb in it. You're basically making a heated tent. It can get as cold as it wants. You're not going to freeze. That engine is not going to freeze in any way, shape, or form if you've still got water trapped in it anywhere. A simple tarp, just like you would if you had a chicken coop. You know, a simple tarp with a heat lamp clamped to the lower unit. You don't have to point it at the boat. The tarp's going to trap the heat, and it will keep it from freezing any at all.
Yep, very good advice. Very good. You know, a lot of times you don't think about that, and it's too late. But, down there along the coast, I don't even remember the last time it got really, really cold down there. Can you remember the coldest you could ever remember?
Oh, last year when it snowed 12 inches.
You did get some freezing down there then.
Yeah, that was a heck of an anomaly. 2 weeks before the snow melted down there.
Yeah, Grand Isle in snow. That's kind of an oxymoron. You don't think of those two things together for sure. Well, Daryl, I guess the thing to talk about is after the weather. I mean, the winds, we're going to have small craft and then gale warnings and then hard freezes. So when all that is past and over, how do you pick up the pieces and get back to fishing?
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to pretty much scout all over again. I mean, you're gonna have at least a solid week of nothing but extreme north winds, gale warnings, really cold temperatures. I would imagine you're going to see some increased activity on the side of the road, and that should increase those catches on the side of the road, those deeper pits along LA-1. But once it's over with, first thing you got to be, you know, just be careful when you get on that water until our tide comes back. It's going to be shallow. You're going to run into oyster reefs. You're going to run into sandbars. So know where you're going or proceed cautiously. And, you know, whatever you do, don't leave without a bucket of dead shrimp. I mean, the sheephead are going to be thick. That's, you know, that's our escape and go-to this time of the year. When all else fails, you go to your sheephead. And other than that, you're gonna have to concentrate on intersections and points and bends where you've got deeper holes. And, you know, I mean, you're going to be going a little bit slower this time of the year if you don't know where you're going. So watch your depth finder. Don't just run your GPS. Run it split screen and watch your depth finder. And when you find those deeper holes, you're going to find fish echoes in it because those fish are going to be congregated in those deeper holes. Sometimes it's going to be redfish. Sometimes it's going to be drum. And you're going to find an occasional trout here and there this time of the year.
Yep, a little mixed catch. Nothing wrong with that. Darrell, I got you on my website. Give them the telephone number. Someone wants to give you a call.
225-937-6288.
All right, stay warm, and thanks for that tip on the tent over the outboard. We appreciate it.
Trust me, I am not leaving the couch once it gets to be about 18, 19 degrees.
There you go. Throw another log on the fireplace. Thank you, Darrell.
Yep.
See you next week. Darrell Carpenter. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Eric Mohabarak with a paddler's report. Mike Gallo, find out if he scored his dough yet. We'll talk to Ryan Lambert on the closing weekend of duck season, as well as Mike Smith on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, hour number two.